Oh, it's on now, Kendall. I tease him every week about a microphone. My name's Todd Owens, of course. Most of you know me, and of course, John's brother. Can't do much about that. But I don't want to make this about, you know, just CMA and just talking about, you know, all about CMA. But we did want to introduce you to what we're about. We're the Christian Motorcycle Association, and you see us riding up and down the roads. You'll see us in church visits like this a lot of times, and we're appreciative for you having us here today to open the doors of the church. It's just an opportunity for us to share with you what we do, and you can come alongside of us, and we want to share that with you here in just a minute. Our mission is changing the world one heart at a time. We don't go in and, is this better? Step back. Okay. I thought he wanted me to leave. He's doing it. Yeah. So anyhow, so changing the world one heart at a time, and we do different rallies and things like that. One of our bigger rallies will be Rolling Thunder, and there'll be thousands and thousands of motorcycles there. Riding in, honoring our vets. We got some of the Mission 25 guys here this morning that'll be doing Run from the Wall from California to Washington, D.C. And they do that ministry work there. We got one of the chaplains with us, as well as some of the others. A lot of different things go on throughout the year. We'll do the Duke Children's Ride. And maybe it's just passing out a cup of water or a cup of coffee or things like that. Ever how they see that we can serve. And you know our very own Rick and Elizabeth, they just came back from Daytona Bike Week. They've been down there. And we got several that's sitting here, maybe beside you today. They're headed out to Outer Banks starting next weekend through the following weekend. So there'll be coverage there every day of the week. There'll be somebody there sharing the gospel of Christ with the community, with the biker community there. So each year was how we fund all our different operations. Now, of course, we're a volunteer organization. But we do a once-a-year fundraiser. It's called Run for the Sun. And every May the 7th, the first Saturday of every month, but this year, May the 7th, we'll have a charity ride, or we'll have a ride, and it's a donation-only ride, and we provide a meal at the end. It's usually about an 80 to 100-mile ride through the countryside. And we end up down at Carl Lake at the campground, and we provide a meal there. And but we raise these funds throughout the year, but this specific day is our once-a-year fundraiser. So we do that, and it helps offset the costs and things like that. So what I want to show you in a video, it's a short video this morning, and this will be our CMA Run for the Sun promo here. But it'll show you that we're not just here local with boots on the ground. We're internationally, and they go all over. And we've got testimony after testimony, and we could just go on and on and on. But we don't want to do that because we're here to hear about Jesus today and His saving grace. So if we can run that video, a better job than I did. Yeah, that sure will. So CMA, as you can tell, it's a lot more, it's a lot broader, it goes a lot farther, it reaches out to many, many different different areas. So one thing I want to do this morning is share a little word of testimony on my behalf. As John alluded to, we got the call last night from about midnight or so. We ended up over at Duke Hospital with our daughter, Courtney. And, you know, she had gone into labor, and you see her there. And as she went through the night and the different struggles and things there, and many of you know what I'm talking about, and we've been praying about this service and this time. And I don't believe there's anything by chance or anything like that. I believe the divine appointment. We're all here today. And so anyhow, as I was here this morning, and they called us back because I was still up in the air about, you know, coming here today. And she just gave me that smile in between. And we shared a hug and a kiss. And she said, you know, go do the service. Well, even with her blessing, when I walked out the door, it was very emotional. And As most of y'all know that ride motorcycles, it don't matter. You can be emotional no matter how big or whatever you are, because they don't know if you got a bug in your eye and you're crying. you're weeping. You know, and I'm going down the hall, getting on the elevator. Yeah. But I thought about, not that I have any right for a comparison, but I thought about when God turned. Jesus hung on that cross for our sin. And I see my little girl sitting there. You know, to me, she's still little, bitty, not 27 years old. And she's battling. And then you know, in a few hours, we're going to be all celebrating, whatever. But I just wanted to share that with you this morning as I rode up the road, was riding up here coming this way. I was thinking those thoughts, you know. This year, in the CMA, we started back in February doing what we call Bikers for Change. That's been our mission. That's been our rally around our folks, is resetting, retooling our hearts and our lives to Christ. Revival starts with us. It starts within us, and so that we can be conformed more in the image of Christ. So, as we did that through a series of what we call Seasons of Refreshing, our team here also did a skit called Break Every Chain. And it was talking about the chains that we have every day in our lives and things like that, and the things that we pick up and that we continue to pick up and continue to put on us. And Jesus was standing there with open arms trying to take those chains and, hey, I've nailed it to the cross. Come to me. Just like Doug sung a while ago. I am redeemed. I've been cleansed. I've been set free from all those things in the past. You can have that same thing here today. As we sang that last song, A Good, Good Father, He loves you. That agape kind of love I call parental love. We know our children mess up, may do things, but we still love them. We don't push them aside. No, we grab them and we love them and we hug on them. And we love them back where they need to be. Our text this morning will be in Jeremiah chapter 18. Very, very familiar text. We're going to do the first 6 verses. I was kidding about 17 verses. I told him you didn't know how to speak. You just read a lot. Okay. It's talking about the potter and the clay. And if I had a title for it, I'd put In His Hands, as we talk about being redeemed, being reformed, shaped, made in the image of His Son. Some of the background here, I'll just give you a little bit of that. Jeremiah was at a very low point in his ministry during this time. Israel had turned their backs on God. They was worshiping false idols. They were just anti-God at this time. Anything they turned away from. So there are elements here of Scripture, as we talk about, a lot of people talk about the Old Testament. I love Old Testament because the relevance of its time here in this day and age. We see that going around us every day. When you turn on the news channel, we see what's going on around us. So Israel turned their back on God, and Jeremiah, he's the lowly prophet here. He's at a very low point in his ministry. So he had quite a task here. He's preaching repentance to such a sinful and rebellious nation. You know, they're not listening. They don't want to hear it. They're pursuing their own way of life, and that's the easy road. We know that. It's a lot easier to do that and do what you want to do and do the things that you want to do. So I pick it up in verse 1 in chapter 18. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Verse 5, Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each and every person that's represented here today. Father, we just pray that you'd clear our thoughts and our hearts. Father, give me clarity of speech and thoughts, Father, and just Pray you be glorified over this time of sharing in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the first things I notice about Jeremiah here is he's obedient. If we look at the first part of verse 2, it says, "Arise and go down to the potter's house." Then in verse 3, it says, "Then I went." He took off. He listened. He was obedient. He went. And I think about, okay, so I'm going to put that in my world. I'm going to, well, now, wait a minute. You know, hold on just a minute. I got to check my schedule. I got to check my calendar. I got to see what's going on. We got things happening. No, I didn't do that. And when I thought about the text and the scripture, as I studied through this, I was thinking about Jeremiah. He's at a low point here. He's needing the army. He's needing a battlefield of preachers and prophets to come on the scene. He's going, God, you need to show me something here. You know, I'd be over there shaking in my boots going, God, I need you to show me something here. I need help. But he didn't do that. I'm sure he had those concerns. That's just my thoughts. But Jeremiah was obedient and he went. Even during this terrible low point, when the people were rejecting everything he was saying, it had to be a tough time. So let's break the passage down even more. We'll look at God is the potter. We'll look at we are the clay. And we look at the wheel of life just going around, spinning sometimes just uncontrollably. You may be sitting here today thinking that same thing. You know, it's, man, you know, where's the getting off spot? It's just going, the wheel's going round and round. But as we break that down and we see God as the potter sitting there, image, just get the image, if you will. One of my favorite pastors, Dr. David Jeremiah, said when he presented this message to his church, he's got a pretty good sized church, and he had a potter there in the midst. So he said, man, how cool would that be to have them down front and making something, you know? And he said, so they set up all their stuff. He said, we had plastic all over the floor so the committees wouldn't get mad when they spilled stuff everywhere. He said, the problem was every time I looked out in the congregation, everybody's watching the potter and the wheel. They was really getting into it. He said, I don't think they got anything I said that day. He said, so I won't do that anymore. So we decided, you know, I decided that probably wasn't a good thing. It's hard enough just to listen to me. But get the image, if you will, is God is the potter and he's sitting there. As we talk about reshaping and reforming our lives, our hands in the Almighty God and the power that he has, our Creator God, who better than our Creator to be in his hands? God has a plan. He has a plan for our lives. In Philippians 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he, God, which hath begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not putting us out here for failure. You placed your faith and trust in him, and you drifted away, or you're having troubles, or you're having times of difficulty and things like that. And as we talk about change and being reformed and renewed and refreshed, and he's working. He's working there on you. But you got to be obedient. You got to be yielding, just like the clay. That's one of the biggest characteristics of it. It's yielding. If we're not yielding, and we're, well, I'm going to hang on to this section of it, or I'm going to hang on to a little bit of this, and I'm going to keep walking with it, it's not going to work out. It can destroy and damage our lives, not only our personal lives, our home lives, our churches, our nation. Can be destroyed through these things. But the best news out of all of this, God is patient. He's long-suffering. He's full of love and he's full of mercy and grace. And you sit there and you go, man, I've fallen down. And he brushes you off. And he gets you back up. And he says, let's get back to where we need to be. Just come on back to where you need to be. I'll redeem you. So we are the clay. And being yielding, so that God can shape and mold us into the image of his son. So we got to be willing to do that. Let's turn over a few pages. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. That's huge. He's thinking about us. He loves us. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. So as we see in this verse, the thoughts, the plans, he's got an expected end for us. There's a future and a hope. It's not just some vain thing that we're just believing in, or God's just here and we can get a little bit of him when we need him. Or he's thinking about us. He's thinking about our thoughts. He knew us when we was formed in our mother's womb. He knew about us. He knew our destiny. He knew we was going to be here today. And he loves us. But we got to be yielding to that. We got to have our lives in such a way to be yielding. We might question at times our circumstances, because it's good to read these verses and go, you know what? I feel really good about that. He's going to give me a peace and a hope, and I'm pretty good with that. And I got those things. But we might question those things and even think maybe, you know what? God's been unfair to me. I've had sickness in my family. I've been sick, or, you know, whoever. There's been different turmoils and difficulties. We've had financial setbacks and things like that. But was you yielding to the Father during those times? I have to ask myself those questions. When I'm sitting there having my little pity party, a lot of times, and I'm going, well, wait a minute. I did this my own way. I walked my own way. I'll handle this one like he can't get it. And then when I finally run into that brick wall and realize I should have left it in his hands to begin with, it's a rebuilding process, and he's reshaping me on that wheel. He's spinning that wheel. He's going, come on. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. I got you. We're going to make something out of it. We're going to make a useful vessel. As we talked about earlier, this is one of my mom's favorite verses, and I had to include it today somewhere in this message. And I wanted to share that with you today because I think it's relevant to the text. It says Romans 8:28, and it reminds us, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, amen, to those who are called according to his purpose. We can pray that. You know, we can pray that back to him. You said, I'm giving you my all. I'm here. I'm opening up. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. You know, the most important part of the potter's wheel, as I studied this, because I don't know anything about those things, and I'm not artistic at all. I have none of that ability. I can't work with wood. I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure what I'm good at, but anyhow, we'll talk about that at lunch. But when I studied this, it wasn't a speed. It wasn't any of those things. There was a combination there, yes. And that guy, that potter's got to know what he's doing. But he's got to have that thing dead in the center. Or that thing's going to get off, and it's going to wobble, just like that aggravating front tire on my motorcycle. And it's going to eat the tread up one side. And then I might have to go see Ronnie and put more money in the thing. But anyhow. But the center of that wheel and having that wheel balanced, the center of our life should be Jesus Christ, so that we can have that balance, so that we can handle those things that come at us day in and day out as we go through this life. He doesn't promise us victory every day, but you can have joy and peace about it. He'll comfort you, strengthen you. When you pray to him and when you ask him, he'll encourage you. He loves you just like a child. So let me encourage you this day. There's never a time that it's too late to turn it all over to Jesus. Never. I talked to a lady this morning, and just as we were sharing there together, and she told me right up, she said, straight up, she said, hey, I haven't been in church over a year. It don't bother me. The thing that's wonderful about her conversation was she acknowledged that she needed help. I said, that's where you're at. And he wants to love you back in the fold. He's going to go after that lost sheep. He's going to come after you. He's going to clean you up. He's going to put you right back to where you need to be if you'll yield to him in obedience. So my prayer today would be that you would yield to him today and just place your life in his hands. As we think about that, hopefully you'll reflect on that in the coming weeks. And I'll close with this last verse. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, and this is him talking, I call it the red writing. I'm a little simple, see. That red writing always gets me. It says, come to me, all that you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. His kind of rest. He'll comfort your soul. You may be going through a time like nobody knows. I said, you know, Todd, you don't know what's going on in my life. You have no idea, and I don't. But he does. He knows your heart. He knows your circumstances. He knows where you're at. He knows the things that's going on around you. And if I can encourage you in any way today, I'd say just turn it over to him. Put it in his hands. Let the potter do his work. Let him. It's going to take time. We can't break it overnight, but he can. He can give us the strength and encouragement to do those things. So if I can encourage you in any way, and I also want to tell you, if you're going to hang around today, you see anybody with one of these patches on their back, no matter who it is, you need a word of prayer, anything like that, you need to talk about it. Don't leave here today. Don't pillow your head tonight. Get with one of us. We'll hang out with you. We'll talk about it. We'll pray about it. And we'll put it in his hands. Amen. Brother John?